Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. The Wedding Night. This story takes place in Kentucky. It had been a beautiful day all day. My aunt had just gotten married, and we were partying at the reception. Just for some background information, this is a small town, but so you can imagine that the reception was on a farm. The kids were all wound up from having drunk a lot of soda, and we could not get to sleep until 2 in the morning. The last people still awake in the house were me and my cousin Amy. We were still laughing and joking when suddenly we stopped laughing almost at the same time. My cousin Amy asked me what I was listening for. I said, "Don't you hear that?" She answered with a funny look on her face, "Yeah." We both heard pots moving in the kitchen. We peeked around the corner and saw an open bottle of whiskey. After that, we tried to get to sleep, but the sound of liquid being poured into a glass awoke us again. We noticed that some of the whiskey in the bottle was gone. About half an hour of no noises, and me and my cousin, we were almost asleep when we heard a man clear his throat. Then we decided to go into the kitchen and find out what it was. But when we peeked around the corner into the dining room, we saw a chair facing us. The scary thing about that is my grandmother always pushes the chairs in before going to bed. Next came the scariest part of the experience. The cat came running out from behind us and sat in front of the chair meowing as if there was someone there that the cat saw, someone that she wanted to have pet her. The very next morning, we told everyone about it, and then my mom made a comment that my grandfather had died exactly 3 years from that night. Chills went up my back and froze for a few seconds in shock. I will never forget that experience. The promise. I've always liked the idea of ghosts, but I never really believed until my pop died in early 1990. I was always close to my pop and would visit him at least every day, if not twice a day. He died very suddenly in January, just as my family was about to move into a new home. As I said, we are a close family, and all my aunts and uncles came over to help us fix the house up. Since my pop helped with a weekly bingo game at the Legion, he left suddenly and I didn't get to say goodbye. Later that night after bingo, he died in the parking lot of the Legion. I didn't find out until the next day. Now my pop always said that he would see our new house finished. And to all the 13 grandchildren, he wanted to see us all married. However, he never got to see either of those things. Well, we moved into the house and lived there for 3 years with no problem. Then my grandmother died, and after that, the footsteps started. I would be in bed late at night and hear someone walk around the kitchen for a while, then walk down the hallway to the bedrooms. They would stop at each of the three bedrooms as if checking the rooms and then walk into the closet, and then the steps would disappear. This would happen at least once a night at 2:25, the same time my Nan died in the hospital. I know it is my New York grandfather looking for Nan. She stayed with us for 2 years before she died. Also, if you're alone in the basement and no one is upstairs, you can hear two people talking and walking around. Even now, you sometimes get the smell of something baking. Pop always loved our homemade treats, even if there's nothing baking in the house for days. When I asked my mother about the walking, she said she knew it was Pop because when I was born, he told her that he would always take care of me, always. Mom knows for a fact that he will keep his promise. I do too. All my life. I guess I should start by saying that I'm not the first woman in my family to have paranormal experiences. All the women in my family have had one experience or another. It's not so strange to us that we would also have ghostly experiences. I grew up for the most part in a tract house in Southern California. My great-grandparents moved into the house in 1956 or so, when my mother was a toddler. In 1974, my great-grandfather was injured when a freight elevator door fell on him, paralyzing him. My great-grandmother told me he was very unhappy, depending on her for everything, and after teaching himself to walk, he sent her out of the house, walked to the closet, removed his shotgun, placed the end in his mouth, and pulled the trigger. He died in the doorway of the master bedroom. My first ghostly encounter happened when I was 9. I was asleep in my mom's bed in the master bedroom. I woke up about 2 or 3 in the morning to hear my ma in the kitchen puttering around. I looked up at the door to see a very distinct figure of a man peering around the door frame at me. He was about 6 feet tall with white hair and clothing. He was so clear that I could see his fingers curled around the door frame and the white part of his fingernails. I closed my eyes and slowly counted to 10. When I opened my eyes, the figure was gone. I thought I was dreaming and went back to sleep. The next night, I woke about the same time to hear Ma in the kitchen washing dishes. It was then I saw the figure in the doorway again. This time, however, he seemed to approach me. I closed my eyes, shaking, only to hear the floor squeaking like someone was crossing the room. It stopped at my side of the bed, and I felt a light brush against my cheek, like a kiss. I screamed and didn't stop screaming until Ma came running in. As she calmed me down, I related the story of the past 2 nights. She got up and removed a shoebox of pictures from the closet. She took out one picture and showed it to me. "Is this who you saw?" It was, right down to the clothing. I began to shake as she told me that it was my great-grandfather. The family thought it was my imagination when she told them, until they realized I had never seen that picture or heard the story of his death before. It was later that I was told that he had died in that spot that I saw him 1 year before my birth. It was Ma's firm belief that he had been sent back to protect me. As I got older, he began to affect things in the house, to show his presence. Floors would squeak like someone was walking down the hall. Doors would open and shut, cabinets open and shut, chairs move. Objects would disappear and reappear in places you would never put them. But he was never seen by anyone in the family except me. I can remember one occasion. He trapped my mother in the kitchen by moving chairs and cabinet doors in her way. I stood frozen in the living room and watched until my mother, in tears, cried out for him to stop and identified herself by his nickname for her. It stopped suddenly, as if he realized who it was. He was terrifying. When I was 15, Ma got very ill and had to be taken to the hospital. I too was sick at the time, with pneumonia and confined to a bed in the living room. My grandfather got more active then. You could hear him pacing the hall at all hours. He would do things he had done in life, like walk down the hall to use the bathroom. I'm probably the only person in the world whose ghost uses the toilet. Several times he walked out to check on me. I felt his presence as he came in and sat down on my bed. I felt the bed sink with his weight and reached out to feel the sunken area, but there was nothing there but cold. I looked up to see and hear Ma's favorite music box begin to play on its own. It got to the point where you could see and hear his path through the house at the front door, and then hear it shut, and footsteps came through the house to the back door, which opened and then shut. Everyone who saw this all agreed it was as if someone had walked in through and out of the house. For a week, we all lived in a state of anxiety. Then, the night Ma died, it stopped. I swear I could hear a voice in my head, berating him for scaring us all. After that, he was very quiet, appearing only sporadically. I moved out 2 years ago, and my grandfather came with me. When I told my mother, she insisted I search my apartment for something I might have inadvertently brought from the house. Nothing. While talking to my mother later on, she said she thinks that perhaps I'm the object he has attached himself to. After I left home, He seemed to leave the house alone except for isolated incidents. But things happened in my apartment that I couldn't explain except that he was here doing them. My keys disappeared and I could find them in the freezer. My wallet would also disappear whenever I tried to leave the house, only to reappear behind the TV. Lately, he's taken to hiding my birth control pills. Is this a message? But still, I was the only one to see him until last year. My husband, then fiancé, got up in the middle of the night to get a drink of water. I woke just in time to see him jump back from the bedroom door, and he turned to me. Holy shit! There's somebody in the living room. I got up with him to investigate and found no one. After he told me exactly what he had seen, I told him who he had seen. If he didn't believe me before, he believed me then. Grandfather has even spooked, pardon the pun, my stepfather. I was there visiting and he was lying on the couch watching TV. He turned to my mom and asked for a blanket, saying he was cold. My mom and I looked at each other, since we both had said earlier how hot we were. I got up and ran my hand through the air about 18 inches above his body. It was much colder. I called my mom over, and she also said it was colder above him than the rest of the room. We asked him to sit up. He did, taking a seat on one end of the couch. As my mom and I stood there, we felt the cold spot move past us and center on the couch where he had been lying. I started laughing, since how often does a ghost wait patiently for you to scoot over and let him sit down? He's been pretty quiet lately, but every so often I feel like he's here with me. But to this day, I will not sleep alone in that house. Unusual experiences. The incidences that I'm about to describe are probably nothing and probably have logical explanations. I'm sure someone with knowledge in the electrical field could come up with an explanation of why these events took place. Anyway, the happenings are of an interesting nature and are somewhat startling. The events took place in a townhouse that I previously lived in for about 3 years. On several occasions, I would wake up in the middle of the night by the sound of my television set being turned on. On one occasion, I woke about 3 a.m. in the morning for some unknown reason. I immediately laid back down again to fall back asleep again when the television set turned on. This was different from the previous occasions because this time I witnessed the television turn on and there was no way I could dismiss it or pass it off with the explanation that I mistakenly left it on before falling asleep. Up to this point, I told nobody about the incidents. I was afraid they would think I was crazy. Then about a year after all these things had happened, a last and final incident happened. It was about a month before I was to move out and relocate to another part of the state. It was about 11 p.m. and I was sitting on my bed watching television with the lights off. My dog was also there with me asleep at the end of the bed. All of a sudden, a lamp in the corner of my room clicked on and adjusted itself to its full illumination. My dog, which never pays attention to anything, stood up and began staring at the lamp for about 5 minutes. At this point, I was so shaken up I couldn't go near the lamp to turn it off. I decided instead to just leave it on all night and turn it off the next morning. That same morning, I also felt that I had to tell someone, so I told my girlfriend. She looked at me like I made this up, so I never told anyone else after that. I'm sure that there may be some kind of power surge in my room that could have caused these things to happen. I'm not a firm believer in ghosts and spirits, and I'm kind of skeptical about stories that I've heard in the past. I still am a skeptic about what I saw. I can't believe that anything other than a logical explanation like an electric surge caused these things. But I know one thing is for certain. I did see these things happen in front of my own eyes. The ghost that played the piano. I'm a 46-year-old woman who still remembers as if it was yesterday the event that petrified me at the age of 16. I lived in a small town in California when I was 13 and 14. During the time we lived there, I began going to a new school and making new friends. I have always had a kind heart and noticed a very lonely girl my age that looked as if she needed a friend. Marie was to become a good friend for those 2 years. We only saw each other at school as she lived down the hill and up the other side, too far to visit for a junior high kid, but we were happy to be friends at school. When I was almost 14, we moved back to Orange County. A couple years went by. Marie and I had remained friends through the mail. In the summer of 1966, Marie invited me to come up and stay a week with her and her family during the summer. My mother and stepfather drove me up on a Thursday afternoon. I was to stay until the following weekend. As we drove up the hill and followed the written directions that Marie had sent us, we turned around a long drive and there stood the biggest stucco mansion I had ever seen. It was pink stucco with a Spanish villa influence. Very pretty. I did not realize that Marie's family was so well off. I gathered up my small suitcase and asked if Mom was going to see me up to the door. Well, she and my stepdad were in a hurry to get back home, so I kissed Mom and watched them as they drove back down the long driveway. I walked up to the only door I saw from where I had been left off. I knocked and waited. A minute later, a young girl opened the door. She greeted me warmly and said she was Marie's sister. Marie was out taking a driving lesson and would be back shortly. "Please make yourself comfortable. I'll show you Marie's room and you can put your stuff away." She was very pleasant and I followed her out of the kitchen. As we walked into the foyer area, to the left of me was a very large winding staircase. It went up and around, and I had never seen anything so elegant before in my life. She took me down the hallway after we climbed the stairs. Goodness, there must have been 15 bedrooms up there. As it turned out, each bedroom opened out into the hall, and each bedroom had its own full bathroom. We reached Marie's room, about 3 bedrooms down on the right, and I couldn't believe how large it was. There were 2 double beds in the room. You could look out the window into the backyard. To the left was a door leading to Marie's private bathroom. It was all done in aqua and pink tile. Lots of space. A huge bathtub and lots of sink space and drawers. I was so overwhelmed by all of this. It was like a castle to me. Marie's sister left me to finish some work she was doing in the kitchen. She told me to make myself at home, explore the house if I wanted to, and then she left. I put my suitcase down and sat on the bed. Then I decided to go look around at this magnificent house. I walked back down the spiral staircase and found myself walking towards some stairs going down. As I approached the stairs, I realized that the stairs led down to a very huge formal living room. I stepped down to the bottom. The fireplace was as tall as I was, which was about 5 feet, and I remember walking up to it to see if I could stand in it. To the right of the fireplace was a door. I looked in and found it full of board games, a pool table, various things to do. It was a game room. That was nice. I closed the door and looked behind and to the right of me. There was a beautiful black grand piano standing in the corner. It was flanked on the left side of it by the wall and long windows with formal curtains. It was a nice place for the piano as the day's sunlight would shine on your sheet music. And I thought the acoustics would be great. I've been taking piano lessons myself for about a year and was very impressed with the size and beauty of this grand piano. I looked around a little bit more and decided to go back up the stairs and find Marie's sister in the kitchen. As I reached the top of the stairs, I heard the most beautiful classical music playing. I stood on the landing and looked down into the living room. There at the piano was a young boy, maybe 13 or 14, playing this wonderful music. I stood for a couple of minutes and listened. He looked down at his hands as he played. He was in his own world and didn't seem to see that I was there. I knew that probably wasn't a good idea to bother him, but I decided to walk back down the stairs and sit on the sofa and listen. As I began walking down, he stopped playing. He looked right at me and stopped. I felt so bad. I didn't want to disturb him and was about to say something when he stood up, looked at me, did a 90-degree turn, and walked out of the room. I went to follow him to tell him I was sorry for disturbing him, and when I reached the wall behind the piano, I realized that this young man had walked straight through an area that turned out to be a window that looked out over the garden, with about a 10-foot drop. This was a solid glass window. No French doors, no latch to open and jump. Just a solid glass window with formal curtains, just like the one to the left of the piano. At that moment, the hair stood up on the back of my neck as I realized I had not seen a real person at all. I hurried over to the stairs, climbed up, and rushed back to the kitchen. Marie's sister was there, and I immediately asked her where their phone was. The house was older and had little alcoves throughout the house for phones. She led me to one outside the kitchen area. As I dialed my phone number, Marie arrived home. The phone rang and rang. No one was home. So little time had passed that my mom hadn't gotten home yet. Marie greeted me and hugged me. She could tell that something was wrong, but I wasn't about to tell anyone what I had seen. We walked out and went to the game room to talk. I was so unnerved, I must have seemed like the guest from hell. I excused myself and went back to the phone. I had to get out of there. There was no way I was sleeping in this house. My mother finally picked up the phone and in so many words told me that she wasn't making another trip today to come and get me. I told her I was scared, that I'd seen something. Well, she thought I was silly. I think it would be rude of you to leave. Marie has asked you to stay for a week. We will pick you up next Saturday. Well, that wasn't the answer that I wanted. I called my boyfriend and pleaded with him to come and get me. He had to work that night. Great. I was stuck, scared, and ready to walk home on foot if need be. As it turned out, I didn't sleep most of the night. I was frightened beyond words. The next morning, my boyfriend did come and get me. Marie was confused as to why I was leaving. I didn't know what to tell her. In fact, I can't remember exactly what I did say to her to explain why I was leaving to go home after only one day. And I never spoke to Marie again or wrote letters. I never found out who that young boy was, but the experience had left me a believer. The cowboy. When I was 5 years old, I was befriended by a cowboy. Our house was built on land that was formerly the Hastings Ranch in Southern California. My cowboy had red hair, wore a red bandana, plaid shirt, blue jeans. I cannot say how old he was because I was so young at that time, but he seemed at least as old as my father. I do not recall seeing his feet. In any case, he just appeared one day while I was outside enjoying our swing. He told me he would be my friend, and I gladly accommodated him. I loved horses at the time, and he always had many, many horse stories to tell me. He would tell me when I had to go back inside to eat dinner, when I could go across the street to visit my girlfriend. It soon became a big joke in my family and in the neighborhood that I had an imaginary friend. I recall once my older sister teasing me about my imaginary friend. And he was standing right beside her. I asked her, "But can't you see him?" She said, "No." I was the only one who could see him. I was so enthralled by his horse stories and accounts of his cowboy days. One day he told me if I dug in a certain spot, I would find an old cowboy boot. Excitedly, I started to dig where he indicated the boot would be. I first uncovered some rusty barbed wire, but then I uncovered the boot. It was brown, rotten leather, and I could hardly contain my excitement as I showed my mother the prize my cowboy had given me. "Get that filthy thing out of the house and wash your hands after you do." I reburied the boot where I had found it. It is probably still there. As I grew older, his appearances became less frequent. Once I hadn't seen him in a few weeks and I was getting concerned. I went into the breezeway area of our house and to my delight, he was standing right there. "There you are," I said. "I've been looking for you." I cannot recall what he told me that day, but I do recall that finally one day he told me I would not be seeing him anymore. I remember that was just before I was to start first grade. After that, I never saw him again. That cowboy was the nice ghost, but our house was filled with others. They were malevolent spirits that filled my younger sister and I with fear. For instance, we shared a bedroom together and often heard the footsteps of heavy boots tramping on the roof from one end of the house to the other. My older brother and sister never heard these footsteps on the roof, even when they were tramping over their own bedrooms. Once, at our insistence, our father went out in the dark and checked the roof. Of course, he found nothing. My younger sister and I also heard the clicking of slippers going down the hall of our house, which passed the children's bedroom. Again, none of our siblings heard these slippers. Finally, there was the blue bathroom in our home. It was always inordinately cold and always had a spooky feeling to it. One evening during dinner, I left the dinner table for reasons I cannot recall. Again, I was 5 or 6 years old. I got up on the counter to look at my face closely in the mirror. As I was doing so, I saw movement behind me. When I looked down, I saw a bizarre creature behind me, a stocky, brown, tree trunk-like figure, reaching up to grab me with long, branch-like arms. I scooted across the counter, but could not avoid it, and it pulled me down onto the floor. The next thing I recall is being on the floor crying, with my whole family standing around me. When I told them what happened, they did not believe me. Still, as an adult, I have nightmares about that blue bathroom.